Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
But if you're watching later on Apple Podcasts, YouTube, any of our platforms, we're just so happy to have you with us today, because I truly believe when we carve out time, we make time to meet with Jesus, He has something He wants to say to us, speak to our hearts, and guide us inside of our lives. So I'm just so grateful you're a part of the process of our soapy here at Fusion Church. We're going to be in Mark chapter 8 today, a jam-packed chapter, really filled with the journeys of Jesus. And when I was reading this, all I could think was, man, what areas should we hone in on as we unpack a conversation? But how good is it that we have the Holy Spirit to guide conversation, guide application, as we continue to develop and become more like Jesus when we look at His life? So let's pray. Let's welcome God into our conversation together today and believe that He has a word for us. So Father, thank You that You are speaking to so many. And God, as we unpack and read Your word, Lord, You're going to illuminate things that we so desperately need to hear. So God, I just pray what each person needs to hear, let them hear today. God, give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and open hearts to apply what it is that You are saying to us today. We praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on. All right, squad. Let's do this. We're going to be in Mark chapter 8. I am reading from the Christian Standard Bible, the CSB. You can read from whatever translation you want. I always say the one you read is the best one. However, I like to tell you what I'm reading so you can follow along. So I would start off in verse 1. It says, "In those days, there was again a large crowd. They had nothing to eat. He called the disciples and said to them, 'I have compassion on the crowd because they've already stayed with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way, and some of them have come a long distance.' His disciples answered him, 'Where can anyone get enough bread here in this desolate place to feed these people?' 'How many loaves do you have?' he asked them. 7, they said. He commanded the crowd to sit down on the ground, taking the 7 loaves. He gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to his disciples and set before the people. So they served them to the crowd. They also had a few small fish, and after he had blessed them, he said these were to be served as well. They ate and were satisfied. Then they collected 7 large baskets of leftover pieces. About 4,000 were there. He dismissed them, and he immediately got into the boat and his disciples and went to the district of Dalmatia. The disciples came and began to argue with him, demanding of him a sign from heaven to test him. Sighing deeply in his spirit, he said, 'Why does this generation demand a sign? Truly I tell you, no sign will be given to this generation.' Then he left them, got back into the boat, and went to the other side. The disciples had forgotten to take bread and had only 1 loaf with them in the boat. Then he gave them strict orders. 'Watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod.' They were discussing among themselves that they did not have any bread. Aware of this, he said to them, 'Why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Don't you understand or comprehend? Do you have hardened hearts? Do you have eyes and not see? Do you have ears and not hear? And do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000? How many baskets full of leftovers did you collect?' 12, they told him. 'When I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many baskets full of pieces did you collect?' 7, they said. And he said to them, 'Don't you understand yet?' They came to Bethsaida. They brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and brought him out to the village. Spitting on his eyes, laying his hands on him, he asked him, 'Do you see anything?' He looked up and said, 'I see people. They look like trees walking.' Again, Jesus placed his hands on the man's eyes. The man looked intently, and his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Then he sent him home, saying, 'Don't even go into the village.' Jesus went out with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the road, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say that I am?' They answered him, John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others one of the prophets. But you, he asked them, who do you say I am? Peter answered him, you are the Messiah. And he strictly warned them to tell no one about him. Then he began to teach them that it was necessary for the Son of Man to suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and scribes, be killed, and rise after 3 days. He spoke openly about this. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning around and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. You are not thinking about God's concerns, but human concerns. Calling the crowd along with his disciples, he said to them, if anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life because of me and the gospel will save it. For what does it benefit someone to gain the whole world yet lose his life? What can anyone give in exchange for his life? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Come on, so good. Mark chapter 8, jam-packed. Love hearing how God is speaking to you. So be sure to share whatever verse is standing out to you today. Again, this is a jam-packed chapter. So love just kind of hearing those pieces or snippets that the Holy Spirit's given you. We're just going to kind of run through this thing, verse 1 to the end. And I really enjoy, so if you have been following along with Soaping, or maybe if you are a Bible book reader, that's kind of what I like doing. I will grab the book of Mark. I actually just got done studying Mark. Now I'm moving over to Exodus. And I just like doing bookend to bookend when I'm diving into the Word. And when we look at this, we'll see so often that these different miracles will get us tripped up sometimes. So right here in the beginning of Mark 8, we see the feeding of the 4,000. And he gives reference to the feeding of the 5,000 inside of this moment. However, I remember when I first started reading the Bible, I thought it was very contradictory because I said, I'm a little confused. Did he feed 5,000 or did he feed 4,000? So I want to share with you, it's yes. He fed the 5,000 and he also fed the 4,000. What you'll notice is when he fed the 5,000, actually he was feeding mostly Jewish people when he did that. He was in a region and these Jewish folks were with him for 1 day. And he decided to multiply some baskets. And he talked about the leftovers that he had. It was 12 baskets. And just something to note, the baskets that would have been left over were smaller baskets. And here in the 3 days, these were mostly Gentile people that were with Jesus. And I find it a little bit interesting that the religious folk were with Jesus for 1 day, but those who really didn't have much of a concept of who Jesus really would be were with him for 3 days. So I find it very interesting that so often, right, maybe this will speak to our hearts about sharing our faith. So often, I think we withhold sharing the love of Jesus, the mercy of God, the message of Jesus from folks because we think they will not engage with God. But here we see people who are so far from Jesus, who have really no concept, they didn't grow up in church. Come on, somebody. They didn't sit in synagogue on granddad or grandma's lap, hearing the Torah getting read. These are people who just grew up in regular, degular, everyday lives. And here they are sitting with Jesus for 3 days, no food, no nothing, just engaging with what God is teaching them. And as he's healing them and he's showing them the love of the Father that Jesus was sent to express. And then it says they had 7 baskets left over, and those 7 baskets would have been giant, huge baskets of food left for all of them. I find that so interesting because Jesus does not withhold his miracles from certain people. Come on now. He chooses to share himself with all people. And I like how this whole thing kicks off because it says that Jesus had compassion on the crowd in verse 2. It says they had already stayed with him 3 days and had nothing to eat. He said, if I send them home, they'll collapse on the way because of their hunger. And some of them have come from a really long distance. And his disciples, I want to hone in on the disciples' response. They answered him, where can anyone get enough bread here in this desolate place to feed these people? You know, I read that and I became very critical my first time around. I gotta be honest, when I was putting this soap together, I was like, man, how many times do you have to see the miracles of Jesus firsthand to finally let it settle in They just saw the feeding of 5,000 people, and here's less than 5,000, 4,000. If God did it for 5,000, why wouldn't he do it for 4,000? But if we could be honest with ourselves today, so often we have short-term memory loss when it comes to what God does inside of our lives. Come on, somebody, let's be honest, open, transparent with one another today, because God will do something in my life, and as soon as the next crisis comes up, it's like, oh, Jesus, where are you? God, are you even with me anymore? Oh God, why have you forsaken me? Come on, somebody. And I immediately start saying, oh wow, Lord, am I even in your will anymore? God, am I still following you? This is about a very similar situation the disciples are in. Come on. They saw the feeding of the 5,000. Here's 4,000. And they look at Jesus and said, Jesus, where can anyone? And it's so ironic because at this point, you'd really hope they would know that Jesus isn't just anyone. Where can anyone get enough bread in this desolate place to feed these people? I find it, as I was praying through this, I found it so interesting that we ask questions and we don't always get the answers that we think we're going to get. And I also think it's very interesting that when we approach God, sometimes we very simply have to ask the right questions to get the right answers. When I was pastoring in a previous church some years ago, we were doing prayer meetings. Man, oh, I love our prayer meetings, our Wednesday morning worship and prayer, both locations. But we were doing a prayer meeting, and it used to be on Wednesday nights. And there was a group of wives that stopped in. It was five wives. And I was, so excited as our prayer meeting was growing. And we always ended with some prayer requests. And they would say, hey, can you pray for our husbands? Can you pray for our husbands? Can you pray for our husbands? After a month of them showing up to the prayer meeting, I said, hey, yeah, I'd love to pray for your husbands. Like, what do you guys got going on, if you don't mind me asking? They said, well, Monday through Friday night, we spend every night at a prayer meeting praying for our husbands that don't know Jesus. And I said, wow, that's really cool. And they said, yeah, so we want to see them get saved. And I said, so just so I understand what you're saying, you're gone 5 out of 7 days of the week praying for your lost husbands? And they said, yeah. I said, can I just be super transparent with you? Can I pass you for a second? They said, yeah. I said, I really think you're praying the wrong prayer, if I could be transparent. And this might rub some of us the wrong way, but I want to be very pastoral with us for a moment. Hey, we can pray the wrong prayer sometimes. I believe it's always safe to say, God, will you save them? But I think sometimes the prayer should be, Lord, would you make me into you? Would you fill me more of your love so I could show them who you are, Jesus? And I was like, ma'am, you'd really love to share your faith with them, but you never see your husbands to actually share your faith with them. And they looked at me and they just kind of stared. And I said, I always want you to come back to the prayer meeting. However, come on, somebody. However, you need to go show them who Jesus is so they can give their lives to him. Because the Bible says, how will they hear without a preacher? And the wives looked at me and said, Pastor, you're right. I never saw them at another prayer meeting. But they're good peoples, good peoples. But it made me laugh because I think so often, come on, how many times do we ask God the wrong questions? And not that it's necessarily always wrong, but if we ask a different question, we would start getting the right responses. Lord, would you make me more into you? Rather than saying, God, who can ever, or no, where can anyone get bread in this desolate place? My question starts becoming, God, how are you going to show up inside of this situation that seems so impossible? God, how are you going to show me who you are, your goodness, your mercy, your grace, your miracles inside of the situation that seems so impossible? And I think when our faith starts to build around these realities, then we start asking the right questions, where our faith starts to build, we start to mature and start to understand that God is going to show up. But the question is, how is he going to show up? I was talking to a friend recently. And he's a pastor of a church plant, and my man is a fiery evangelist. Come on now. He loves seeing people get saved. And he was like, man, I'm telling you, I'm waiting for that $1 million check to come in the mail so we can go make a down payment on a building. I gave him a high five. I said, bro, I am partnering with you in that prayer. Also, listen, let's pray one gets sent to my house, right? And like, I'd love to say it's for the kingdom, but it's not. That's for me, that one. I believe in the tithe, don't worry. Pardon me. And we're just laughing together. And I said, I gotta be honest, man. I am all for praying for supernatural checks in the mail. Come on, I think everyone says yes to that. But so often when I read of the life of Abraham, God gave Abraham the capability of creating wealth for himself. And what I'm saying is sometimes we have to change our prayers to a place of, Lord, I want to see you show up supernaturally, but God, will you also form me? Will you give me divine revelation, insight into my life so I can start seeing places where I can make margin? Come on, where I was telling him, I said, you may have some margin inside of your church financially where you can go buy a church so you can actually start advancing in that way. But sometimes we have to pray and start thinking, God, I want to see you show up supernaturally, but there's also very tangible realities that God wants to step into, and it's called discipleship. Come on now. So, I'm sharing this with you because I think we can find this inside of our own lives, where we start finding financial crisis inside of our lives, but then we realize the Lord has given us more than enough than we need to survive to get through what we're going through. And sometimes we just have to say, Lord, will you give me wisdom inside of my own life? So when I look at it, I'm not sitting there saying, where can anyone get bread in this desolate place? Instead, I'm saying, Lord, I know you're the same God who is in Isaiah 43 that says, I'm going to make ways in the wilderness. Come on, somebody. I'm going to actually bring rivers of living water inside of deserts. And it's from that place where I say, God, I know you're going to show up. My question is not where can anyone, but it's just going to say, God, when are you going to show up so I can set my eyes and give you praise and glory? Come on now. So we see the disciples ask this question, and Jesus doesn't rebuke them. And I find that so interesting because this is the beautiful part of me not being God, because I would have looked at him and said, how quickly do you forget? Come on now. Instead, he says, how many loaves do you have? He wants to show them how, what do you already have inside of your hands? And I think that's a question that God proposes to us so often. Lord, would you give me more patience? And he looks at us and says, I keep on giving you situations to grow your patience. Will you just rely on the Holy Spirit to grow your patience? Come on now, right? How many loaves do you have? What do you already have? He asks them, they say, seven. And he commanded the crowd to sit down, taking seven loaves. Here's some two keys right here. He gave thanks and he broke them. Gave thanks and broke them. Other translations, depending on what you're reading, will say he blessed it, then broke it. You know, I think it's so interesting that Jesus will bless and break us in our own lives so often. You know, and I'm so grateful for the breaking seasons of God. And I want to give some pastoral context and build our theology on what it means to be broken by God. So we come to Jesus broken and he makes us whole. Every time we celebrate communion, I always love to bring up how the body of Jesus itself was broken so that you and I can come with him in our broken pieces and he'll turn it into masterpieces. However, when we are going through the process of becoming more like Jesus, the process of discipleship, come on, we are in week one of connect groups, week one of pressing in, getting in community, unpacking the word of God, becoming more like Jesus inside of circles. We notice that things start to break inside of our lives. And there's three different things. I got them all starting with H, note takers. I love you because, you know, I try to make it easy for us. There are three things that Jesus tries to break inside of our life as he's blessing us. It's our hurts, our habits, and our hangups. Hurts, habits, and hangups. You see, I find it so often that when I talk with people, I find that the hurts of their past, the hurts of their childhood, the hurts of scarring from relationships will so often hold them back from the realities that God wants them to step into. Sometimes it's our habits. Well, how many of us need some better habits today? You know, I'm not necessarily talking about kicking the cigarettes. Come on, sometimes we just gotta get some habits and drink some more water. Come on, somebody. But man, I'm a gallon and a half a day type of guy, but I need some better habits. Maybe some of us need some better eating habits. I'll preach to myself for a second here. I need some better eating habits. Cut some sugar out of my diet. We just got done the Daniel fast. Everyone's like, I lost 10, 15, 20 pounds and we're all feeling good. Well, we're coming up inside of March and all of a sudden we're 10 pounds up again. Come on now, right? Maybe we got to kick some habits of some healthy eating inside of our lives. And maybe some of us in our habits are just building a stronger prayer life. I find if we start getting good habits in our life, the things we do every single day, the things we choose to prioritize that we keep in the forefront of whatever it is we do, we can call this the systems of our lives. If we don't have good habits, bad habits will hold us down. And we also have our hangups. These are the things, come on now, these are those secret sins that we try to keep in the closet but keep on breaking out. These are the things that we try to make sure that no one knows about, yet here's the reality, God knows about it. Our hurts, our habits, our hangups are the things that God wants to break off inside of our life. And here's the beauty, Jesus doesn't reject us inside of those things. He just embraces us and says, will you let me give you the grace? Come on, will you let me bless you so that you can grow through all of these things? Because here he gives thanks to them, he blesses them, And then he breaks these loaves. And from there, it becomes a miracle for 4,000 people to eat. And from this and this divine encounter they have, we see the disciples engage in another conversation with Jesus in verses 11 on. And the Pharisees come and argue with Jesus. And I find it so interesting. My heart broke when I read this verse because all I thought was these were religious leaders that God had his eyes on and hand on at one point in their life. And here they are arguing with God himself, saying, "We're demanding a sign from you." Jesus was grieved and he sighs deeply inside of his spirit. And he says, "Why does this generation demand a sign?" You see, the disciples at this point, while they're inside of a boat together, forgot to bring bread. And while they're talking about tangible things, Jesus confronts them. And he says in verse 17, "Why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Don't you understand or comprehend? Do you have hardened hearts?" Verse 18, this is the key one. "Do you have eyes and not see? Do you have ears and not hear?" I think so often many of us could fall into what it says in verse 18 right here. "I have eyes and I don't see, and I have ears and I don't hear." A couple years ago, I was getting some new prescription glasses. Come on, where are my glasses? Where is that? I was getting a new pair of glasses. And when I was at the doctor, I brought my old pair so they could see my old prescription. And they were examining me for the new prescription. The doctor comes in and sits with me. I shook his hand and he didn't say a word to me. He just said, "Hey, nice to meet you." And he just stares at me and he said, "Son, I don't know how to tell you this. Your eyes are terrible." And I said, "Bro, are you serious? Like, I'm in the middle of my eye appointment." And he's just like, "Your eyes are horrible." And I was like, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Your prescription is insane how high it is." And I said, "Well, man, I've had two eye surgeries, just to repair some detached retinas, did mixed martial arts, boxing, all that kind of stuff. This is kind of like par for the course." And he goes, Yeah. "Your eyes are terrible." And I said, "All right, you're like a broken record with this thing at this point. My eyes are bad. I get it." And I'm sitting there laughing with the doctor. We're going back and forth. And he goes, "Yeah, I just don't think I've ever seen someone this young with eyes so bad." And I was like, "All right, doc, what's the prescription for the glasses, man? Because I'm not going to sit here and get grilled and cooked in the middle of an eye appointment as the doctor's just grilling me." And he said, "Yeah, you really got to get, you got to work on your eye health, this and that." And he gave me some practical tips. He talked about the habits. And as I was working or reading through verse 18, "Do we have eyes and not see?" All I could think was that doctor looked at me and said, "You have eyes, but you can't see, son." And I wonder how many of us inside of our lives, just every day in a spiritual perception, have eyes but can't see. I wonder how many of us in our spiritual perception have ears but can't hear. And while a doctor was sitting down with me and trying to give me some good remedies, I wonder how many of us have to sit down with the good physician Jesus and get some remedies on seeing and hearing about what he's doing inside of our lives. Because I want to tell you something. You may not see God at work right now in your life, but I promise you, I would bet my bottom dollar if I was a betting man, I would put everything in the center of the table and say, God is at work inside of your life right now. Come on, somebody. But we need eyes to see and ears to hear what it is that he's doing. And when I see it, I can join him in doing it. When I can hear what he's speaking to me, I can obey it and follow it. I just need to be able to see it. And the great physician wants to sit down with each and every one of us and help us in our spiritual perception. Because I want to tell you this, so often I think we get wrapped up in almost like this problem cycle. Like there's problem after problem after problem. Maybe you're like me. And I'm always looking for a problem to solve. I'm always looking for something to put my hands to. Well, I want to tell you, every problem that comes your way is very simply an opportunity that has not yet presented itself. And in those problems of life, come on, in the problems of the marriages, come on now, the problems with our children, the coworkers, maybe it's a problem with our finances, maybe it's a freedom problem that we're trying to work out right now. I want to tell you, all of these things are actually divine opportunities from Jesus himself. But he just says, "Will you put on the eyes to see what it is that I'm doing? Will you open your ears to hear what God is saying to us?" Because we saw right here, the disciples lived through an incredible miracle with Jesus, and then they sat there and said, but we have nothing to eat. Did they not realize that while they were looking for physical bread, the bread of life was sitting right in front of them? And if they could start asking the right questions, where are we going to get bread to eat? Instead saying, Jesus, would you provide bread for us so that we can have substance? Come on, somebody. I want to have good spiritual perception with Jesus. He goes on inside of this passage. We see the healing of the blind man happen. They brought the blind man to Jesus as he was coming to Bethsaida. And he does something a little bit interesting. I'm going to keep it buck with you. I don't know how I would have felt if I were the blind guy. Because right here, we see Jesus spit on his eyes, which is kind of out of pocket, Jesus, and lays his hands on him. It's a little gross. I'm just going to be transparent. I'm not going to sit here and say like, oh, that's divine spit. That's nasty. When my own 6-month-old child drools and spits on me, I look at him and say, that's gross. So I'm definitely not going to look at Jesus spit and say, yes, Lord, that's a little nasty. He spit on the man's eyes. However, I want to say this again, when it comes to spiritual perception, sometimes we have to allow God to break off of these paradigms, break off these preconceived notions. When we look at God and say, Lord, do it this way, make it so clean, make it so beautiful, because Jesus shows us that he moves in the middle of mess. Come on now, because this is very messy. And we see something happen in the Bible that we don't see happen anywhere else inside of any of the Gospels and Jesus' ministry. We see for the first time that Jesus prays for someone and they are not immediately healed. He prays for someone and it's not that immediate moment where the eyes are open and the blind see. He prays for this person and he says, do you see anything? And the guy responds, I see people. They look like trees walking. Again, Jesus places hands on the man's eyes, prays a second time. The man looked intently and suddenly his sight came back to him. I'm sharing this passage with you, this little area, because I want to encourage you not to lose hope inside of your life. You may have been praying for God to show up inside of that situation for years now. And you may see God moving in little pieces and little pieces and little pieces and little pieces. But I want to tell you that as you continue to pray for God to show up, it may take more than one prayer to see him move. Do not lose hope while you are praying. We want to pray like David prayed. God, we are going to see your goodness here in the land of the living, even if it comes piece by piece, brick by brick. Because even Jesus right here prayed twice. And if he prayed twice, I'm going to pray twice. Come on now. And I'm going to keep on praying until I see the breakthrough. I'm going to keep on trusting until I see God show up. I'm going to let him build my faith as the miracles start to show up inside of my life. Because maybe you're like me, maybe you're not like me. Because I see situations like this, and all I think is, man, how many times have I prayed the first time and then walked away because I didn't see God show up? Imagine if I kept on praying. Imagine if I kept on digging. Imagine if I kept on asking, if I kept on seeking, if I kept on knocking, and we see God show up. I'm telling you this because I want to encourage you. Do not give up praying. We are believing God on his character and who he is to show up inside of our lives. If you need that healing, keep on praying for that healing. You need that provision, keep on praying for that provision. We just want to make sure we're praying the right prayers and asking the right questions. And we're saying, God, will you show up inside of my life? Come on, somebody. I'm not going to lose hope on this side of eternity, but instead, I'm going to trust in the hope of all nations. I love this. Holy spit. God himself, always pure. I love this. We are all talking about the spit now in Jesus' name. This is why I love our Zoom chat on Fusion Soap. It goes on. I'm going to close with this. Verse 34 through 38. And we see the expression, take up your own cross, come to life. So calling the crowd along with his disciples, he said to everyone, you see, I want to focus in on this word, the crowd. You see, Jesus had a lot of fans, but he also didn't have many followers. And I think it's interesting that as we look at verse 34, he actually creates a difference. He called the crowd along with his disciples. He called the fans and the followers. And I want to almost get in your face just a little bit today. Let me be coach just for a couple seconds. This is a good confrontation of ourselves. Am I a fan or am I a follower of Jesus? Do I love cheering and seeing him move? Or am I okay with him cutting and doing surgery on my heart so I could follow him more purely? I want to be a follower of Jesus, not just a fan of Jesus. And he says to them, if anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. These are three beautiful steps we can apply to everything. Now, when it says deny yourself, it's not talking about an unhealthy denial. Deny yourself really just means I'm not going to be selfish. Because let's all be honest. Come on, let's be transparent together today. We are all at least a little bit selfish. We're all just on different spectrums of the selfish spectrum. I was talking to someone recently. I said, I get super selfish when it comes to my sleep. Because when I hear my 6 month, about to be 7 month old child screaming in the middle of the night, all I can think is, kid, you better go to sleep because I'm selfish about my sleep. I need rest so I can work, so you can have heat inside of your beautiful bedroom. But man, how many times do we face this selfish nature of ours? Because many of us, even myself included, so many of us would rather have what we want than necessarily what's good for everybody. Just like it says in Philippians, where you put the interests of others above the interests of yourself. So Jesus says here, if you really want to follow me, you got to deny yourself. Put away your selfish nature. Come on. I just want to do what feels good so often. He's saying, will you put away what feels good and instead deny yourself? Take up your own cross. What this means is that Jesus does not talk about a physical cross. What he's saying is this metaphorical cross, or as we saw, the will of the Father for Jesus. Jesus sits in the Garden of Gethsemane the eve before his crucifixion. And as he sits there, he says, Lord, will you let this cup pass from me? What he's saying is, God, will you let the call that you've placed on my life skip over me? Then he prays, but not my will, but your will be done, Father. This is what he's talking about. Will we take up the cross, the plan that God has for our lives? You see, the plan that God has for our lives, can I just be honest with you, doesn't always feel good. But I will say this. We sometimes feel like we're going to always endure or always enjoy. I want to tell you this. Sometimes taking up your cross can feel like enduring that cross. But I will say this. Other times it will be straight up enjoying that cross, because we realize how much joy it brings the Father when we are serving him and giving him our all. It says, take up your cross. And when you take up that cross, follow Jesus. The only thing I want to do is take up the cross God has for my life. I don't want to pick up false crosses. I don't want to pick up someone else's plan. I'm going to pick up the plan that God has for my life. Come on now. I only want to do what he wants me to do. And I'm going to follow Jesus all the days of my life. You want a simple remedy to your life today? I'm going to deny myself. I'm going to take up my cross and I'm going to follow God, whatever it may look like. I'm going to choose to not be selfish, but I'm going to be selfless. I'm not going to choose my will, but I'm going to choose what God wants for my life today. And what I'm going to do is, rather than following my feelings, come on now, I'm not going to follow my feelings. Instead, I'm going to follow a God that loves me so much and has a good plan for me. So come on, let's just recap really together really quick. Hey, in our prayers, let's be praying good prayers with good questions to get good answers. God wants to speak to us today, but so often we have to have spiritual perception to see and hear what he's doing in our lives. We want to thank God that he's blessing us and also breaking us, because while he heals us and makes our broken pieces into masterpieces, there's also a side where we want to say, God, will you break the habits, hurts, and hangups in our life so we can follow you better? And on top of it, we want to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. Come on, let me pray for you today. Father, I'm so grateful, Lord, that we have your Holy Spirit to navigate through life. Lord, that you want to walk with us and talk with us and tell us that we are your own. So Holy Spirit, I just pray, give us aid today in following Jesus. Lord, help us see what crosses you want us to pick up. And God, help us follow you all the days of our life. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have an incredible day.